Welcome to Orlando Means Business, a podcast featuring industry leaders, entrepreneurs, and innovators who are shaping the Orlando region's thriving business landscape. I'm your host, Lorene Martinez. Today, we're learning more about aerospace and defense company Lockheed Martin, its impact in the Orlando region, and how it's pioneering technological advancements. Short history lesson that many of you may not know about. Long before Orlando was known as the theme park capital of the world, Lockheed Martin was here working on the ultimate thrill ride, flying to the moon. Decades later, the company continues to be a cornerstone of the region's economy and a catalyst for high-tech innovation. To learn more about Lockheed Martin's groundbreaking work, I'm joined by Stephen Botwinick, Vice President of Advanced Programs at Lockheed Martin. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Lorene. Glad to be here.
So, going back to that history lesson, I'm sure you've had to explain this a number of times, but tell us in your words, Lockheed Martin started as Martin Marietta here in Orlando.
Even before that, actually. So when it first came to Orlando, it was the Martin Company, before it even merged with American Marietta at the time. And this was 1957. A lot of work, as you can imagine, going off at the Cape. And Martin decided to move here and purchase almost 6,500 acres. Again, this was long before Disney or Universal, and bring engineers to this area to basically help support the Cape, directly work with our armed forces.
And it really set the foundation for Orlando. I mean, people do think of the theme parks, but so much of what happens at the theme parks is innovation and technology. And that talent was already here because of what was happening with Lockheed Martin and the space program and the higher education institutions, later what became UCF. Can you talk about Lockheed Martin's growth over that time? Because there are a number of campuses in Orlando at this time, and tens of thousands, well, I shouldn't say tens of thousands, but thousands of employees here as well.
Actually, it is tens of thousands. So in the Central Florida area, we have almost, or throughout Florida, we have about 17,000 employees. In Orlando alone, we have over just about 10,000 employees. And as you mentioned, there's two campuses. The original one was on the west side on Sand Lake Road, very close to iDrive. And then when that one hit its peak, we actually opened a second campus on the east side of town, very close to the University of Central Florida. Since then, they essentially are two different businesses. The one that I'm at, which is the one on Sand Lake Road, focuses on essentially building hardware for our military that really seeks to, you know, protect those who serve, make sure that they can accomplish their mission and return home safely to their loved ones. And the one on the east side of town actually is focused on essentially training, simulation, and logistics. And as you can imagine, that's very much a part of Orlando's fabric, and that forms kind of the cornerstone for the simulation ecosystem here in Orlando.
Can you tell us more detail about what's developed here in Orlando? I mean, we want to hear the cool stuff.
Sure, absolutely. So probably one of the cooler systems I've had the privilege of working on is a laser defense system. So essentially, it's a high-powered laser, high-energy laser, that's designed for ground-based systems to essentially intercept rockets, artillery, and mortar and help protect our troops at forward bases.
Okay. So tell me about the success that Lockheed has found here in Orlando. I mean, you talked about lasers, optics and photonics, you know, fit right into that picture. A big school at University of Central Florida that focuses on lasers and optics and photonics. But tell me about what is it that makes Lockheed successful here? And I would imagine that talent piece definitely fits in.
Absolutely. And so you mentioned that education pipeline, and that is key. What we've been able to do here in Orlando and what Orlando's been able to do for Lockheed Martin is create a partnership. So we interact very closely with the University of Central Florida as an example. We established a long-standing college work education program, or CWEP, where we employ students at our facilities in all sorts of disciplines, not just engineering, but in finance and business operations, in planning. And it gives the students an opportunity to see how Lockheed Martin functions, get to work at a large company and really understand it better. But even more so, it really sets the stage for us to then hire them full time. And the majority of students that work in the CWEP program at Lockheed Martin actually do wind up becoming full-time employees after their graduation. We also have a really good relationship with Valencia Community College. We just celebrated actually our first graduating class of optical technicians. We worked very closely with Valencia to establish a class or a series of classes that trains technicians so that when they graduate, they can come work for Lockheed Martin, essentially manufacturing optics, which is a core component of a lot of our systems.
Tell me about that
kind of partnership then between industry and education, and then also really that variety of career. So not everyone has to have a PhD to work at Lockheed Martin, I would imagine.
That's right.
And these training programs really help the community as people are looking for good paying jobs, but then also can fill that need for the company.
That's right. So again, you know, as you'd imagine, it's an engineering company. And so the vast majority of employees we hire are, in fact, engineers. But in order to run a business, it could, as you can imagine, requires a lot of disciplines. Everything from not just engineering, but of course, manufacturing, which would be probably the next largest tranche of employees we have, are those who actually build and assemble and test the hardware going out the door. But of course, you need, you know, finance and business majors. We need everything, including public relations and communications. And we hire a lot of those from the University of Central Florida and surrounding universities.
I've been to Lockheed Martin, especially the location that is over on the west part of the Metro Orlando area. Sorry, it's not west, it's east, which houses the demonstration center.
Right.
So I'm trying to help people have a mental or a visual of what that center is like. Because when you walk in there, there's a variety of different simulation machines. I don't know if that's the right word, but you can sit there and experience what it is that Lockheed Martin is doing. Can you kind of describe what the demonstration center is like?
Of course. So at our facility on the east side of town, again, part of the simulation ecosystem, their business really is focused around training and simulation. And when I talk about training, we're talking about training soldiers, airmen, Marines, guardians on essentially how to do a lot of the core skills that are going to be necessary. An easy example, for instance, would be piloting, right? So we partner not only with our own DOD, but we partner with a lot of our allies to train pilots on how to do that job. It's a lot more safe environment, as you can imagine. It's actually an accelerated learning environment than what would be required to sit in a cockpit. It's obviously much less expensive than having, you know, for every number of pilots you have, X number of jets to train them in, plus instructor pilots. And so it's a much lower risk, much more cost-effective way of training pilots who then are very much more competent when they get into the cockpit for the first time and complete their training regimen. So that's what you would see if you entered Lockheed Martin on the west side, on the east side, is you would see exactly that. You'd see a set of simulators. Some of them are aircraft simulators, like as if you're in an F-35. Some of them are ground-based simulators, as if you're in a Stryker combat vehicle and you're driving down the street. That's more to train soldiers on how to react to different situations and really try and get them used to those situations long before they see them in combat.
So you're talking about a lot of professions that maybe many people don't think about getting into. I mean, it certainly seems like it takes years of education to become an engineer and to be working on the size projects that you're probably working on. But can you talk about what those options are for people? I mean, did you go to UCF, for example? Did you get an engineering degree? What kind of engineering? Like, what is that?
So I'm actually a Gator. So I went to the University of Florida, but I did get my degree in engineering, essentially in aerospace engineering. But again, we recruit from all over the state, right? Whether it's Florida State, USF, UCF, of course, University of Florida. And again, coming in as an engineer, nevertheless, you know, I had to partner with the rest of our team in order to do any of the things I mentioned before, right? Where I've seen probably the most interesting is when we see, like I said, students coming in from, say, UCF's work study program or Valencia, and they join to try and understand the business better, and they fall in love with it and they want to work there full time. And invariably, you know, they come in, they do a great job, we hire them full time. And then they learn over time what it really means to be part of a large industry, what it means to be part of aerospace and defense, and what it means to be part of the Lockheed Martin family.
I hope you're enjoying Orlando Means Business. I should mention, if you're thinking of Orlando for your business, if you're expanding or looking for a top metro to locate, go to investorlando.org. We've got industry-specific information for you, as well as data on our educated and experienced workforce, real estate options and incentives, plus more to help you get started. You can find us at investorlando.org or click the link in our show notes. What are some of the new technologies that you have found interesting that Lockheed Martin is now, you know, a part of. There's been a lot of talk about metaverse and AI and all of those different kinds of technologies that really speak to like AR, VR, XR. What are some of those areas that you see kind of development?
There's probably two I could think of, very well linked. One of them is, and I'll call it the way we're kind of transforming the business to do model-based systems engineering. And what that really means is that instead of doing a design, you have a mechanical design or an electrical design, or even if you have an entire system design, understanding how the system behaves, essentially creating a digital twin and being able to understand how it's going to behave in the future before you actually build it gives a huge lift to both efficiency, makes us go much faster instead of iterate, building something, trying it, fixing it, building it another one, making three, four, five prototypes before we're going to production. We can do all that digitally. And so it allows, actually enables us to be able to move much more quickly through the design iteration process. The other one is once you start putting all the systems together, now you can introduce something like artificial intelligence to help you analyze and predict what that system will do. So I know a lot of people think about, you know, AI in the world of defense, but where we've really seen the biggest impact so far of AI is in the running of the business, right? Not only the ability to engineer faster and be able to iterate more quickly, ultimately delivering the capability faster than we could before, but also to instrument, say, the machine shop. And really understand and start to predict, you know, where do we think those machines might need to be refurbished ahead of time? Where do we think that, you know, we can best automate things? How do we get more insights into the business? AI can help us do a lot of those things. A very good example of where Lockheed Martin is working to try and pioneer AI as an application is, say, for instance, you can have AI get much, much better insight into weather prediction, as an example, at a very, very high fidelity, right? So you can really predict within some very, very, you know, specific areas what the weather might look like tomorrow. If you couple that with, say, a map of the terrain, and you kind of know what the valleys might look like, you know kind of what, you know, lightning might look like. You can start put those all together. And so we've actually pioneered a way to actually put all of those models together and use AI to start to predict where might you see wildfires start long ahead of time, right? So you can actually get ahead of not just trying to be reactive, but figure out where might you see lightning strikes in an area that would be an issue and start to pre-position resources, right? Let's go ahead and take firefighting units and move them into a safe location where they can be ready to combat large-scale forest fires, as an example, by using AI to do a lot of those predictive analytics.
So does Lockheed Martin have partnerships, or how do you get from, you know, seeing that in a digital twin or seeing that in the technologies you're using and getting that on the ground and working, you know, in the real world?
Yeah, so we do. So we have, as you can imagine, in the example I just used, we have partnerships with the fire service, with both state, local, and federal departments to try and implement and get ahead of how, you know, how can you predict that? We also have a lot of key partnerships with, as you can imagine, folks that do computing, high-end computing for a living, right? Cutting-edge companies like NVIDIA and Intel. We have partnerships with both of them. As far as networking, be able to move data around, we have a partnership with Verizon, as an example. So those are examples of where we can utilize, you know, multiple companies working together, as well as the governments, to create some capability that has not been seen before.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So do you think people would be surprised to hear that Lockheed Martin probably is affecting their everyday life, even though they may not know it?
They might be surprised. I mean, sometimes they're surprised that we have such a large presence here in Orlando, as an example, 10,000 employees. We do business with over 75 companies here in Central Florida. I think it surprises a lot of people to know how long we've been in the community. But what usually doesn't surprise me is when I run into someone and they say that they have a colleague who works at Lockheed Martin. So as surprising as it might be, they do recognize that, well, actually, I actually know someone who works at Lockheed Martin.
Tell us what your day-to-day is like.
My day-to-day, I mean, I work in probably one of the best roles one could have at Lockheed Martin because I work on advanced programs. So I'm working on the programs that really set the stage for the future of what we can do with respect to our Department of Defense and our allies. So I work on some advanced systems with advanced propulsion, everything from ramjets and scramjets, some really interesting different propulsion methods. As I mentioned, I work on high-energy lasers, which is fascinating to see see that over the years have really accelerated and now be able to be used as a defensive system. I work on advanced protection systems for ground-based vehicles, as an example, protecting our soldiers on the ground on their armored vehicles to be able to both detect and defeat threats coming at them. And so on a daily basis, right, I kind of help support our team that does those engineering to those systems. We also get to, you know, have the conversation about, okay, what should we put an emphasis on, right? Where do we think our customer, the DoD, may be headed? What are those macro trends? And of course, where do we think the budget's going to head? All of those kind of encompass any given day in my job.
I would imagine that Lockheed Martin has to be very nimble in its work, I would imagine, in kind of adapting to different situations around the world. Is there anything that you can tell us about the work that you see that plays into that ability to kind of change, you know, some of the technologies to adapt to different climates, different landscapes, different, you know, situations?
Well, we work closely with our customer, and those customers vary, as you mentioned, right? They vary from the U.S. Department of Defense, and we work very closely with the Department of State as to who else we can work with. But we work with our allies as well, and each one of those has a different use case. The United States tends to be very forward-leaning and rather advanced. We have other customers that might not have the same kind of budgetary authority that the U.S. has. And so in many cases, we may have a different set of requirements that we have to work to. They may not have the same kind of advanced networking. And so the question becomes then, can we deploy something that can work on a less advanced network? Or might they, in fact, have the desire to create a more advanced network? And so we work very closely with them to kind of learn the voice of the customer and really understand more about what they need for their given situation.
Right. It's having to solve the problem.
Precisely.
Of the day.
Yeah. It's what engineers do, right?
Yes, exactly. And that's what business does, right, is help engineer new solutions to problems. What do you see in the future, in the next 10, 20 years for Lockheed Martin or the technologies that you work with?
So AI for sure is going to only accelerate. I remember hearing the CEO of NVIDIA speak at length on this one, that the rate at which AI is advancing is actually faster than Moore's Law. And if you remember, Moore's Law is the law that the observation made by the founder of Intel that processing speed or processing capability seems to double every 18 months to 2 years. Jensen Huang basically says that he believes it's actually faster than that for AI. So if you think about it, if AI is going to advance even faster than computing, think about where computing has come in the last 10 or 20 years and the ubiquity of it now on our watches and our pockets. Think about it now if AI comes along even faster. So I think we're going to see a profound impact by AI, not just in what I do, but probably in all of our lives. Another one is space, for sure. If you look at, here in Orlando, it doesn't take much to step out in front of your front patio and watch the rate at which launches are occurring out of the Cape, as an example, whether that's Starlink internet service or if it's other assets going up. The number of satellites that we're able to deploy and the cost, which has fallen dramatically, both based on the cost of the satellites as well as the cost to actually lift them into orbit, has fallen dramatically. It gives us a lot more access into space. And so again, I think the ubiquity of networks, the ubiquity of satellites in space, and again, I mentioned AI coming along quickly, I think those are going to have profound impacts to what I do and I think to us overall.
So if you were giving someone some career advice and they were interested in engineering, what should they be looking at? What specialty field should they find the most opportunity, in your opinion?
What I've found is that most people going into engineering don't quite know exactly what engineering is until they get there. So I would say the biggest piece of advice is remain open, remain curious. You know, try out a bunch of different types of engineering and see what sticks. But what I found is, you know, you may specialize in mechanical engineering and start doing mechanical design and realize that you like systems engineering and viewing the system much greater. And in other cases, you might say, well, you know what, I want to try doing electrical engineering, and that's okay. I mean, the ability to kind of cross train and utilize all of your skills that you learned in formal education to go off and actually apply them in a different way, I would highly encourage. In fact, a lot of our really, really good engineers are very good at really learning how to integrate multiple disciplines.
And last question, what's your favorite accomplishment at Lockheed Martin?
My favorite accomplishment, I'd say from the people side of the equation, is actually watching those engineers I just mentioned, not just engineers, but my entire team accomplish something that has never been done before. Just being able to see something that supports, again, our military, allows them to accomplish their mission and return home safely is a huge feeling. And watching my team be able to do that is outstanding. That's probably the biggest accomplishment. In that similar vein, I had the opportunity many, many years ago to actually travel to Afghanistan in support of our troops and really understand how they used our systems and how our systems can be improved to better serve them. And I think I look back on both of those as really key to being able to understand what I do and really be able to make an impact.
Yeah, and see it as it's happening in
exactly.
Your life. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and talk to us. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity, Lori.
Yes, of course. And thank you for listening to Orlando Means Business, a production of the Orlando Economic Partnership and the University of Central Florida. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. The Orlando Economic Partnership is an economic and community development organization that works to advance broad-based prosperity and create a more prosperous community for all. If you're interested in Orlando for your business, please contact us at investorlando.org, and there you can find what makes Orlando unbelievably real. Take care.